The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Chaf Dalet. Today's daf is being studied. Le'anu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, le'anu Nishmat Asaf ben Rona. And du'a Hashem t'nihem, began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chavdal Ramud Rishon, and we are three lines down, last word on the line. We are in the sugya over here of Rov and Karov. We learned in yesterday's daf in the name of Rabbi Hanina. He taught us a very important klal, that when you have something that is Karov, that it's closer to one situation, it's close in proximity, it's close, but you have against it Rov, a majority. So when you have a Rov and a Karov, so which one of them wins out? Sort of Hanina had a tradition that said Rov and Karov, Rov Adif. The Rov wins. He didn't prove it. They had a certain tradition from the Hachamim all the way back, but that's the way it goes. Now, the Gemara in today's daf is going to bring proofs to Rav Hanina's principle. Now, I know it sounds theoretical. Give me a case of Rov and Karov. Well, give me a case. Well, the Gemara is going to give examples, and then you'll understand this principle much better. So we begin. Amar Abaye said, Af Anan Name Tanina. We also learned this principle in a Mishnah. Mishnah is in Masechet Nidah. Now, as an introduction, in order to understand this Mishnah that we're going to quote in Nidah, we know a lady, she bleeds. The blood can come from different parts of her body. The only blood that can make a lady teme'ah is if it comes from the heder. Heder literally means the room. Hakamim, they didn't want to call these terms what they are really. They used nice terminologies, because the Hakamim have Lashon HaKodesh. They speak in a nice way. So they called it the room. It really is, we would call it in other language, in another word, the rechem. Rechem would be the uterus. But blood from there is dam nida, that's dam of tum'ah. That's where the baby is formed. That's where life is formed, that's where there's tum'ah. There's another section above the heder. It's called the aliyah. Okay? It's another area where there's also blood. And there is a little, we'll call it a tube from the aliyah that can cause the blood to trickle out outside of our body. That little hole from the aliyah is called the lul. Okay? Lul is like a little tube. Now, if you look at the picture in 379, you see what we're discussing here. And this is inside of the lady. You have the aliyah. If it comes from the aliyah, it's tahor. If it comes from the heder, the blood is teme'ah. But both have access to what's called the prosdor. Right? If the heder has a little hole over there, so the blood can come right through it and trickle down through the prosdor. Prosdor literally means the vestibule, or the hallway. Okay, that's the long tube in the lady. Or come from the aliyah. So now you have blood that comes out of a lady, you see it in the prosdor, that little tube area. You don't know where it came from. Did it come from the aliyah? If it came from the aliyah, she's tehura. If it came from the heder, teme'ah. But now you don't know where it came from. You're catching it on the way out. So the Mishnah says, dam shenimsa b'firozdor. You found the blood in the pirozdor, in that a vestibule, we'll call it. Sefeko tameh. If you have a sefek, you don't know, the rule is tameh. Double tameh. It means she's tameh, the lady, and the blood itself is tameh. I mean, if the blood would touch something, it would also make it tameh. Shehezkato min hamekor. Because we have a hazakah. You gotta assume that it came from the Mekor. That's another word. Mekor is the source. So I gave you three words. Mekor, Heder, Rehim. Those are all the same places. You assume that it came from the Mekor. Even though the Aliyah is closer to the Pirozdor. You see, what's Karov? The Aliyah is right above the Pirozdor and it's mamash close to the Pirozdor. The Heder is a little removed from the Pirozdor. It's behind the Pirozdor. The Aliyah is in the front. It's closer. So here you have a classical case of Karov and Rov. Majority of blood of a lady, however, comes from the Heder. So now I got Rov and Karov. If I would go against Karov, if I would go with Karov, I would say it came from the Aliyah. She should be Teora. And the fact that I say no, even though the Aliyah is Karov to the Pirozdor, but since Rov Damim of a lady comes from the Heder, so Rov Karov, you go after Rov. What a proof Abaye brought from Hanina, from a Bifurush Mishnah in Masechet Nida. But now, before we go further, let's just read Rashi to see it inside. Look at Rashi. Fourth line. Af anan nametanina. Kerebi Hanina, de Rov Karov, alach ahara Rov. Proving Rav Hanina. Nimsabe Pirozdor. נמצא דם לאישה בין כותלי רחם בחוץ הקרוי בית החיצון, that's the פרוזדור area, ספקו תמה, ספק זה, just read that go to Bach, ספקו, ספק זה תומעה, ודאית, we consider it, not, we're not in doubt even, Rashi says, we consider it ודאי, it came from the Heder, it's not like, okay, you know, מחמיר, no, the deen is, it's guaranteed, we treat it, as if it's tum'ah vaday. Medeketani hiskato min amekor. Uma sefeka yeshkan. We have no sefek. Resha de matnitim amasek nida mashal mashlu ba'isha. Nida over there it says, the Achamim gave examples when it came to the inside of a woman, like I told you. They didn't say the exact words because they didn't want to get too intimate. So they used mishalim, examples. Ha-heder, ha-perozdor, ha-aliyah, the room, the corridor, the aliyah, the upstairs. Dam ha-heder tameh. Vehu ha-mekor. That's the source, that's the uterus. U-mefaresh b'gemara, ha-heder mi-bifnim bi-obi gufa le-tzad ahoreha. The heder is inside her body, towards her back. Towards the inside. The perozdor mebachutz. The perozdor is towards the outside. Letzad paneha. The aliyah binuya al gabeshinehim. And the aliyah is on top of both of them. Vedam aliyah tahor. Velul patuach me aliyah le perozdor. That little hole that I showed you is called the lul. That's opened up from the aliyah that trickles down into the perozdor. Veketani. And it says, Nimsa be perozdor hezkato minam mekor. If you see it in the Prozdor, you got to assume it's from the Mekor. Zav v'yatzai lachutzu il verov damim mitzuyim bo. Since the majority of the blood is in the Heder, ve'lo amad min ha'aliyah nataf derechel. We don't say it came from the Aliyah via the Lul. Ve'afal gav de Aliyah karov de Prozdor she'al gabo. So therefore you have a ra'ayah to Rav Hanina, rov v'karov, rov ba'adif. Amale Rava comes along and says, Rov umatsui ka amart. Rov umatsui leka leman de amar. Which means, you can't bring a proof from over here. This is a case where everybody's going to agree. Why? Because this you have two things working for you. You have a rov, and you also have what's called matsui, which means prevalent. Here, in the Heder, the majority of the blood is in the Heder. That's number one. And number two, majority of bloods come from the Heder. So you have two things working for you. You have majority of blood, quantity, the number, the amount of blood is more. And more times does the blood come from there than the other place. So I got two things working. I got Rov Umatsui. Ah, listen, now you're introducing a new concept now. Rov Umatsui against the Karov. Everybody's going to say, go after Rov Umatsui. Rav Hanina was just talking about straight up, Rov and Karov. You introduced to me now a Rov and a Matsui. That's a different story. Everybody can agree to that concept, where you have quantity plus
Frequency, beautiful. The frequency is more as well. Look at Rashi. She says, "Rovu matzui damav rabim yotem mishir aliyah ve'ochim tedirim lazuv." It's more frequent to flow mishum misham ve'deme aliyah in tedirim latzed behalikaman depadig al Rabbi Hanina. Nobody argues on Rabbi Hanina. So therefore, Rava doesn't like Abaye's proof. It's not exactly similar to what we're trying to prove. Detani Rabbi Chiya. We have a braita of Rabbi Chiya. Dam and nimsa beperuzdor. You have blood that they found in the peruzdor. Hayavim aleha al biat mikdash. Number one, a lady who's tamea, of course, cannot go into the Beit HaMikdash. If she goes into the Beit HaMikdash, she's hayevet to bring a korban hatat, like a regular person that goes to Beit HaMikdash betumah. Now, you all know, let's say a person has a sefik. He doesn't know if he was tameh or not. You cannot bring a korban. Why not? I would say bring a korban anyway, just to be safe. No, you can't. It's worse if you bring a korban. Because if you're not tameh, you're bringing an unsanctified animal into the Beit HaMikdash. Because if you're not tameh, you don't need an animal. Now you're slaughtering hulin ba'azara. So you don't just say, bring it anyway. No, the animal has to be worthy to be brought. Now from the fact that it's saying over here that if a lady has tum'ah, or a lady, you found blood in the prosdor. I don't know what it is. We treat it as a vadai. How do I know it's a vadai? Because the Gemara says she brings a korban. If I was safek, I would not let her bring a korban. Furthermore, v'surfin alav et terumah. If let's say she touched terumah, you burned the terumah. Now, if I was in doubt, I would say, don't burn it, just leave it. Don't touch it, don't do anything to it. The fact that you're being proactive and you're burning the terumah, that shows me in this case over here, it's a vadai. It's not a sefik. It's not even a question. And why is that? V'amar Rava, shma mina mid Rabbi Chiya tlat. Rava said, from Rabbi Chiya's statement, I learned three things. You got to get Rabbi Chiya's statement, good. A lady that they found blood in the pirosh door, and she went into the Beit HaMikdash, she has to bring a korban. And if she touched terumah, the terumah is teme'ah. You burn it. So the Rabba said, you know what? From this statement of Rav Chiya, I learned three halachot. Number one, Shema Amina, Rov Vekarov, Halach Achar Arov. Number one, I learned the principle of what? Rov and Karov, you go after the Rov. Now, I'm going to get back to this in a second. Because this is difficult, what we're reading now. Rava, you just told me that this is not a case of Rov and Karov. You just told me this is a case of Rov, Matsui, and Karov. Now Rava comes along and says, oh, you know what I learned from this? That Rov and Karov, you go after from the fact that if Hayah says you're bringing a Korban, so you see, Shishtema'ah, must be you go after the Haider. Yeah, but Rava, you just a second ago told me it's not the exact case. Now you tell me, oh, you know what I learned from Hayah? Rov and Karov, Halek Ha'arov. It's not Rov and Karov, it's Rov Matsui. We'll get back to that in a second. Continue the second hadush. Ushma mina. And the second thing I learned, ruba de oraita. Oh, I see that what? That this concept of rov is de oraita. It's a Torah law. What does it mean, a Torah law? From the fact that I'm telling you to bring a korban, must be this law of rov is from the Torah. This also needs to be understood. I need this funny case of a lady that saw blood to teach me that Rov is from the Torah. I have a pasuk in the Torah before this case of a lady that has nida. It says, Ahare Rabbim Lehatot. Majority rules. Go after the majority. So Rava says, oh, from Rav Hayah's case of the lady that found blood in the prosdor, I learned from here that the concept of Rov is a Torah law. Well, you don't need this case. It's a pasuk, Ahare Rabbim Lehatot. Explanation is like this. There's two types of rovs. There's a rov de itakaman and a rov de letakaman. What does this mean? The classical case of rov is with judges. You have a bed din, you have judges sitting around the table, everybody's in front of us. Vote. Hayav, 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 patur. Majority. That's a rov that we can see in front of us. That's the Torah's classical case of rov. What Rava is saying from Rav Chiya, I'm learning a new type of Rov. That's a Rov Deleta Kaman, where it's not in front of me. The information is not in front of me. I don't know. Here, I just see blood. There's no vote, there's no people, there's no nothing. I don't know where the blood came from. Since the majority of the bloods come from the Mekor, from the Heder, I put it after Rav. So this is a new type of Rov. That's why Rabbah went out of his way and said, and from here I learned that even a Rov that's not in front of me, where I don't have the numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I have just blood. I don't know where it came from. Oh, since the majority is over there, it's called a Rov Deleta Kaman, that's not in front of me. Good, that's the second Hadush. Vishma Mina, Italia de Bizera. And we also learned that we followed the Bizera. What did the Bizera say? Tamar Bizera, Afalpi Shedelatot Medina. Ne'ulot Teha'isha Dechi delatot Medina Ne'ulot Damya Vafilu Achek Azlinan Batar Ruba. Okay, let's get the Bizera. The Bizera was talking in a classical case of Rov, which everybody's familiar with. That's the case where you have 10 butcher shops in the city. 9 of them are kasher. One of them sells terefot. I find a piece of meat now in the city. What's the rule? Rov. I could assume it came from the nine. Now you say, what do you mean? Rabbi, maybe it came from the taref. What did I just, rule. We have a rule. Ahare Rabim. You go after the majority. Now, there was one rabbi, not Rabbi Zira, another rabbi that said, in that case, not enough. You can't eat the meat. Only in a city that has gates, and the gates of the city are opened. Now, what is that? What is that coming to teach me? So look at Rashi. Itel Rabbi Zera. What does the gates of the city have to do with anything? Look at Rashi. Itel Rabbi Zera. It's right in the middle. Damar gabe tesha haniyot by the 9 stores b'shili perikam adikatumot ubenimsa lacharov ubotad afagav shedatot meina neulot. Even though the gates of the city are closed. Let's say you have two cities. This is the city that I found the meat. It's 9 and 1. I have gates. The gates are opened up to another city. In the city next to it, it's also majority Jewish butchers. Now, if the gates are opened, now I got a double rov. Because I say, wherever it came from, I'm good. If it came from the city to the right, majority. If it came from the city to the left, majority. There's some rabbis that said, in the case of the meat, you need two rovs. So you need the gates to be opened. So now I could put it both sides. Either rov here, or rov there. Daltot petuchot. The Bizera said, no. You don't need, why do you need two rovs? Even if the gates are closed, so the city to the right is not even in the subject. This is out of it. We know the meat didn't come from here. The gates are closed. The meat cannot fly. These gates are closed. It came from this side. So Rava says, from the story of the lady with the Pirozdor, I prove that Rabbi Zira is right. In the lady of the Pirozdor, it either came from here or here. It can only come from one of the places. It cannot come from, it's not like you have two rovs. In the case of the lady with the prozdor, if it came from the Hayader, we have rov. If it came from the Aliyah, no rov. It's not a rov, it's a karot. You don't have two angles. In the case of the lady of the prozdor, what's the side to say that she's tehora, that it came from the Aliyah? What's the side to say she's teme'a, that it came from the Mekor, the Hayader? But it's not like I have two rovs, even one rov already I work with. So therefore he says, the fact that you see that he judged a rov in the case of the lady, all you need is one rov. Similarly, I'll go with the case of the meat. All I need is one rov. That's it. So let's review the three things that Rava learned from Rabbi Chiya. Number one, he learned, rov is the oraita. That's the second thing, actually. Rov is the oraita. The third thing he learned is what we just said, that you only need one rov, not just like Rabbi Zera that says the gates can be closed and you just deal with one rov, you don't need two rovs. And the third thing he learned is rov vekarov. Rov is hadif, because the heder is Rov, the Aliyah is Karov, and we say it came from the Heder, therefore Rov wins. Now the Gemara is going to ask the question that we had when we read it. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Gemara says, Veharaba, who de Kamar Rov Umatsui, Leka Leman Damar. You just told me, Rava, that this is not a case of Rov and Karov. You yourself said it's Rov and Matsui. It's got majority and frequency. How do you tell me then you're calling it a Rov and Matsui case? Gemara answers, Hadar be Rava mehahi. He retracted. He changed his mind. And he said, you know what? Forget about the frequency item. You know why? You know why it's more frequent that it comes from the Heder? Because it's majority, because more blood is there. It's one and the same thing. It's not two separate things. Initially, he looked at the two separate things. You have more blood, and not only do you have more blood, but it's more frequent that the blood comes from there. Then he said to himself, you know what? Why is it more frequent that the blood comes from there? Because there's more blood. It's all the same thing. It's circular. It's the same reason. It's the same Rov. If I have 10 gallons of blood here and 1 gallon of blood there. So he says, oh, not only do I have 10 gallons, but you should know, majority of the times it comes from there. Hazak Baruch, because you have 10 gallons. It's because there's more blood. That's why you have more frequency. So therefore, really, it's a regular case of Rov Matsui. I'm sorry, Rov Vekarov. And that's why, indeed, you can bring a Ra'ayat Rav Hanina. So now, if you want to bring a Ra'ayat Rav Hanina, Rov Vekarov, Rov Adif, the classic proof would be from blood that's found in the pirozdor of a lady, and that she's going to be teme'ah, even though the aliyah is karov, the heder is rov, and that's the finish, that's the proof. Now the Gemara goes into some stories. Gemara says, itmar, we have a statement. Havit is a barrel of wine. Shitzafa b'nahar. Oh, it's floating in the river. Now you don't know where it came from. If it comes from a Jewish farm, no problem. Yain kasher. Comes from goyim, a problem of stam yanam. Yain nesich. What do you do with the barrel? How do you judge it? Amar Rav. So Rav says, nimtzet keneged ir shiruba Yisrael mutar. You look at the barrel. Where did you find it in the river? If it's keneged a Jewish city, down the river banks. So then already you can assume it came from the Jewish city, and you can drink it. But if you find it parallel to a city that's Rov Goyim, so then already you can't drink it. A very easy way of analyzing it. Look where you found it. So comes the Gemara and says, Ushmael Amar. Shmuel says no. Afilu nimset keneged ir shiruba Yisrael asira. Even though now you found the barrel parallel to a city of Jews, no good. Why? Imur, because I will say, I'll just get the right language here. Imur meihi dekira atai. Because maybe it came from a place called Ihi dekarai. The name of a place. Now, in order to understand this, I'm looking at a picture over here, obviously, an image, 380 in the Perush High, of the Euphrates River. This is Nehar Perat. Okay, Nehar Perat, you see on the side you have villages, people living, and so on and so forth. So the first rabbi says, well, where'd you find the barrel? If you found it next to a Jewish place, you go with the Jewish wine, kosher wine. You found it next to a Goy place, Goy wine, no problem. Shmuel said, no, I don't care where you found it. Because I got to assume it came from upstream. Upstream, there was a city called Ihi Dekrai. And this place over there was Rov Goyim. So therefore, what happens? It could have started from there. It flowed downstream. Now you found it in front of a Jewish place. Doesn't mean anything. The Rov around this Nehar Perat is Goyim. Especially in the place called Ihi Dekrai. So that's the machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, wherever you found it, that's the way you look at it. It's closer to the Jewish place, it's kosher wine. The Goy place, Shmuel has nothing doing. Even if you found it next to the Jewish place, it didn't start here. It flowed, it's a river. So it could be it flowed from upstream to this place, Ihi Kira, and it came down. Therefore he says, he can't drink the wine. Now the Gemara wants to analyze, what's the machloket between these two rabbis? What's the underlying machloket? So the Gemara says, Lema, let us say. Now I'm going to give you a ruling, Gemara. Anytime you see the word Lema, let us say, you know it's going to be rejected eventually. Right? You know that. Lema is let us say. That means we're attempting, but the Gemara knows it's going to be knocked out. That's why it uses the word Lema. It's an attempt. Lema, let us say, b'derabi hanina kamipalge. Oh, let us say that the machloket is in Rabbi Hanina. When you have Rov and Karov, do you go after Rov or not? Demor, it led Rabbi Hanina, umor, let led Rabbi Hanina. Rashi, Rav, let led Rabbi Hanina. Rav doesn't go like Rabbi Hanina, because he goes after Karov. Rav says, where did you find him? Next to a Jewish city? Karov. Even though the Rov is Goyim, where is it closer? It's closer to the Goy city? No good one. Rav is very easy. Shmuel must hold Rov and Karov. You go after Rov. Since the majority of the places around the Euphrates is Goyim, I don't care if you found it next to a Jewish city. I'll say maybe it came from the Rov, Iyikirai, upstream. So that's the machlok to these two rabbis. Do you go when you have Rov and Karov? Do you go with Rov or do you go with Karov? Rav said what? Where did you find it? You found it next to a Jewish city? It's Karov. I'm a rabbi. There's all Goyim. I don't care about all Goyim. I don't go with Rov. I go with Karov. Shmuel says, nah. But rabbi, I found it next to a Jewish city. No, I care. Look at all the Goyim over here. Maybe it came from upstream, from Iyikirai, which is a bunch of Goyim that make wine. So the machlok between these two rabbis, Rav and Shmuel, is in this concept of the when you have Rov and Karov, how do you manage it? Gemara says no. No good. No. See, I told you it's going to be rejected. No, has to be. Anytime you see a lema, by the way, Gemara is going to say, no, we don't accept. Why? Everybody holds of Rav Hanina. Everybody holds Rov and Karov. You go with Rov. So what's the case over here? Here's the machloket. Demor sabar im ita demihi kira atai. If you're going to tell me it came from Iyikirai, akule upeshure ava mettabala. You have to know something else about the Euphrates River. It had akure and peshure. What's akure and peshure? Akure is like rocks. Rock sediment, rocks in the middle of the water. And peshure is ice that would eventually melt, but these are impediments in the middle of the stream. Exactly. Rav also agrees, by the way. Of course you go with Rov. Rov and Karov, you go with Rov. But he says, you know what? It couldn't have came from upstream. Because if it came from upstream, it wouldn't have made it downstream. Because the barrel's coming down, it's going to hit a rock and it's going to bust. It's going to hit the snow, it's going to bust, the ice, it's going to bust. It's a windy area, so therefore it's going to bang against all these impediments in the water. That's called ekule upeshure. So Rav says, generally speaking, if the water was clear water, open water, of course I would go after Rov. And say the water came, the barrel maybe came from the Rov Goyim. But it couldn't get here. Because between the ekule and the peshure, the barrel would have broke. So now I go with Karov. What does Shmuel hold? Shmuel Amar. That's why it says, V'habam mitbe'ela. It would drown it. Umor savar harifa de nahara nakat ve'atay. Listen, it's possible they put the barrel and it caught the strong current. You know, it all depends where you drop it. You know, if you put it a little to the right, it might hit a rock. You put it to the left, but if you put it downstream in the middle of the water, it'll find its way down. So Shmuel says, yeah, maybe they put it in the strong current of the water. Therefore, you have to suspect it. Okay, not that this is going to help you too much, but if you just look at 380 again over here, they're just showing you the windy harpera. This is Iyikira that's on top, and do they show you the ekude and peshude? Yeah. That's Gimal. These are the rocks on the side, and you have the snow as well. Okay. Comes the Gemara now and tells another story. Ha'u hasba de hamra, de shtekah de pardesa de orla. Oh. you have a paradise, an orchard, of Orla. What's Orla? Orla, the first 3 years of a tree, you're not allowed to benefit from the fruit, including grapes. Now what? I found a barrel of wine in a field of Orla. Now again, if I assume it came from that field, so then I can't drink the wine. Even though it's Jewishly, because it's Jewish owned. But the Goyim is no Orla. Jewishly owned field, first 3 years, is no good. Or maybe I say, or maybe it came from somewhere else, and they put it over here. So the Gemara says, "Ha'u hazva de hamra." You have a barrel of wine. The ishtekat meperdesad de orla. That you found it in a orchard of orla. So I want to know: is it asur b'hana'a or mutar b'hana'a? Can I benefit from it or not? Sharia Ravina. Ravina came along and said, "Mutar. I don't have to worry." Which means. Maybe it came from this. No, you don't have to. You don't have to assume it's mutar. I can assume that what it came from somewhere else. Maybe a ganav, a thief came, stole the barrel from somewhere else, and hid it in this field over here. You don't got to assume that it came from here. Lema mishum de sabar la the Rabbi Hanina. Must be old like Rabbi Hanina. Why? Rov the karov. Rov, we're assuming, is non-Orla fields. Actually, we're talking about in the Jewish neighborhood. All Jews around. The majority of area is good. This area over here, where you found this karov, is bad. I found it in the area of Orla. What does he say? Drink it. Ah, what do you see? Rov v'karov. Go after the rov. Very nice proof. Gemara says... Shani Hata. Nah, there's no proof over there. No raya. Why? De'im migniv mina atznu'e begave lo matzne'e. I could say the different logic working over here. You know why Ravina said it's good wine? I know it didn't come from here. Because if the thief stole the barrel from that field, he's not hiding it in that field. You don't hide the stolen property on the property from where you stole it from. Because the guys that are collecting the grapes on the field, they go, hey, that's our barrel. So therefore, forget about Rav Karov. The reason why I said it's Mutar, you got to assume it came from somewhere else. Because what kind of ganav is going to steal an item and put it right where he stole it? You don't hide it there, you hide it somewhere else. So it must be, it was a stolen amount from somewhere else, and he hid it over here. Oh, so you have logic work. Don't leave Rav Karov. Is not the issue over here. Okay. Now, incidentally, if we wanted to be technical over here, we could really argue that this case has nothing to do with Rov Karov to start off with. This is another logic working. There's a sevara that says, Kan nimsa v'kan haya. Which means, normally the logic is, I found it here, this is where it came from. Karov means it's closer to what it's doing. This is not close. This is here. It's in the field. Normally I say, wherever you found it, that's where I assume it came from. Kan nimsa kanaya. Oh, that's the hadush of it. Normally I would say what? That this item over here, nothing to do with karov. Even Rav Hanina, that normally says, rov ve karov, would agree, but this is not karov, this is there. It's on the Orla field. But since we have a logic to say that a ganav doesn't take his items and put it in the field, must be it came from somewhere. But if it wasn't for that logic, I would say, what do you mean, it's here. It's not cut off, that's on premise. But because I have a logic to say, hey, what am I going to say? Well, maybe a guy stole the barrel and he hid it on the spot that he stole it. And the people don't do that. That's why I say it came from the ganav, majority Jewish, therefore the wine is kasher. Oh, Gemara says, wait. We have a very important restriction. This is only talking about wine. Aval enve. When it comes to the grapes themselves, matzne'e. The ganav will hide the grapes on the actual on premises as well. He'll hide the grapes where he stole them. Why will he do that? They know that. That's what he does. So therefore, kadim sakan haya. I found the grapes over here. I got to assume that they came from over here. This is Orla. Therefore, wine he won't. Maybe grapes, because you could hide them easier. A barrel, you can't hide, so it's bigger. So if he's not going to put it in the spot where he stole it from, but grapes were a little smaller, so he could hide it. So if you found grapes on a field of Orla, Asur, you got Asur, that it's Asur. Now the Gemara tells another story. Hanehu ziked de hamra. Now we're not talking about barrels anymore. We're talking about, I guess we'll call them jugs. Jugs of wine, which are a little smaller than barrels. Okay? You want to see a picture? I don't know if we have pictures over here. Yeah, the leather bags, leather pouches they used to use. You see it over on the hamor, the pouches hanging from it. These are the leather pouches, they call them nodot. Hanu ziked de hamra. You have these flasks of wine. The ishtekehan be kupae. You found it by the kupae is the vineyards of the Jewish people. Sharanu Rava. Rava came along and said, no problem, mutar. And he didn't say, oh, maybe it came from the goyim, maybe it came from the... No, mutar. Lema lo sabal derbi hanina. And that was the opposite. You don't go like the hanina. Here he's going with karov more than rov. In this case over here, rov was goyim around him. You found a flask on a Jewish property. We don't know who it belongs to. What did the rabbi say? Mutar. Oh, karov. It's closer to the Jewish field than it is to the goy field. But the goy field is majority. Also, must be that this rabbi, who was the rabbi, Rava, doesn't hold of the Hanina. But it can't be, because how do we start today's daf? Today's daf we started and we said Rava agrees to the Hanina. So how can you say it? Okay, what I say is, Shani Atam, Deruba, Deshefuchae, Yisrael Ninhu. Rule. Goyim don't use flasks. That's a Jewish item. Because the Jewish item, the Jewish people sell the wine. How do you sell the wine? You sell the wine, you transport it in these leather flasks. It's called shufcha'e. Shufcha'e yai min ha'habit. They pour the wine from the barrel into these flasks and they go to the market to sell it. If you found nodot, that's like you know it's Jewish. So therefore, that's why Rabba said, even though majority of the fields around was goyim, but I'm looking now at the item that I found it in. That's a telltale sign. When I find it in a leather flask, I know that's already that's Yehudi. Because goyim, they don't do that. They have their wines in the barrel. They don't sell. Look at the top of the sheet. De shufcha'e. Shufcha'e yayin min ha'habit le'nodot limkol le'ovre derachim b'dina zot. Very good. So they sell it. So therefore, even though Rov is a problem, this had nothing to do with Rov and Karov. This had to do with the item that you found it in. Comes Gemara and says, "Behani mili berabrebe." This is only talking about in the big flasks, in the big nodot. Why? Because that's what the sellers would use. They would pour it from the barrel into these big leather pouches in order to sell. However, aval bzutre, you found a small leather pouch. Imur meovde kochavim nafun. Oh, then I can say it comes from the goyim. Again, a small pouch, then already can become from the goyim. You got to go to majorities. Now, because it's for personal use. The ikar rabrebe bahadayu imur beabrure avam manhe. Now the Gemara says a chadush. You told me I find big ones. Jewish, small ones, goyim, both. I go in the field, I find big ones, small ones, now what? Then I assume it's okay. Why? Because in the olden days, how did they transport the wine? On a hamor, on a donkey. As you see, they used to have the jugs hang from the sides of the donkey. Right? They put it on a rope. And it hangs on the right and the left, and the donkey walks with the loads on the side of it. The custom was, let's say you have these big jugs that they're using to go sell in the market now, right? That's just on the right side of the hamur. They need to balance the weight on the left side. Otherwise the donkey is not going to be able to walk straight. So they put small jugs on the other side, but as weights. So therefore, if you find big and small jugs together, it's Jewish. Oh, wait, I thought they don't use small jugs. You're right, they're not using the small jugs to sell. They're using it to balance the hamor when they walk into the marketplace. Therefore, you can assume that it's all his. That's the way they sell it. They're transporting it. Therefore, it is okay. Look at that she, just to get the terminology there. Imur be'abrure hava manche lehashvot masa hamor, to balance the load of the hamor. Kishiyesh ten nodot ze gadol mize me'at, when they have two nodot, one's bigger than the other, u'machbid ha'masa litzad an, and it tilts the weight to one side, mani'in nod katan etzlo lehashvot ha'masa, they put a small weight next to it just to balance it out. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. This is the Mishnah that we should be familiar with. We learned it already a few times in Baba Metziah. We've learned it already a few times already here as well. Marhikin et ha'ilan mena'ir esrim v'hamesh amma. You're not allowed to plant trees within 25 amma, for argument's sake, we'll say 50 feet, of the city. Why? New hadush, new reason we're going to say. That she says, because noi ha'ir, beautification of the city. You would say, what do you mean, beautification to put trees? Not always. There's also beautification to keep open areas, where things are just beautiful, like a park, like an open area for the city, for air, and for sun, and so on, and for recreation. So therefore, they don't want anybody planting trees within 25 amma of the city, to keep open space. Ubeharuv, ubeshikma, and when it comes to the carob tree, and the shikma is the sycamore tree, these trees are very big, they have a lot of leaves. So the deen is hamishim amma. Then you got to move them away 50 amma. No mahmir. Abba Shaul omer, kol ilan srak hamishim amma. For that matter, any tree that doesn't produce fruit is 50 amma, because that's ugly. It's not good for the city. You don't want to ruin the aesthetic, pretty beauty of the city. So Abba Shaul says, any tree that doesn't produce fruit, 50 amma away from the city. Now, ve'im ha'ir, or im ha'ir, some change it. Im ha'ir kadma. The city came first. City was there first. Now this guy comes along, he plants a tree. He was wrong. What do you do? Kotzetz ve'enu noten damim. Cut his tree down, I don't have to compensate him. Because, hey, you cut my tree down. Hey, you were in the wrong. You had no right to plant the tree in the first place. Ve'im ilan kadam. But if the guy's tree came first, then they put the city. Kotzetz ve'noten damim. You still chop it down, because the majority of the people have the right. But you got to pay him in that case, because he came first. So that much makes sense. If he came first, which means you're always chopping his tree down. That's for sure. Whether he came first or he didn't come first. You're only one guy. We're not going to hold up the whole city because one guy's planting a tree over here. The question is, if he did it correctly, then you got to pay him for his tree.
Beauty or fruits?
Beauty or fruits, doesn't matter. Just the difference is 25 amma or 50. Safek ze kadam, safek ze kadam. Of course, the Mishnah has to give us that case. But so you don't know who came first. If these guys claim, hey, my tree was there first. Hey, our city was there first. You don't know. Kotzitz ve'enu noten damim. Again, you cut. You cut the tree, but you don't got to pay. Because then you have the famous rule of Hamotzi b'chavero, ala baraya. What do you mean? You want us to pay. Prove us that you came first. You want to take money out of me, I should pay you, prove me. I don't have to take my money to you prove me. So therefore, safek, you have to pay that meaning. Okay, that's straightforward Mishnah. Now, obviously you have to say, who's paying over here? You have to say the owner of the city. In the olden days, they had people that owned the cities. There was a certain group that was in charge of the city. So they had the obligation to pay.
Seven people.
Seven people. To the Masechet Megillah, however you want to learn like that. Fine. Comes the Gemara and says, my ta'ama, I told you the reason already, but the Gemara is going to say, my ta'ama, what's the reason of this Mishnah? Amar Ula said, Mishum noye ha'ir. Because of the aesthetic beauty of the city. That's the whole reason. We don't want trees next to the city. We want to have open space. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? This is the Mishnah teaching me of beauty of a city? I know that already from another Mishnah. I don't need that from. I know it from somewhere else. Where do you know it from? V'tipukle, you could learn it from somewhere else. Actually, it's a Mishnah in Erchin. Now, in order to understand this Mishnah in Erchin, they used to have, outside of the cities, an area called the Migrash. What's a Migrash? It's like an open field. It was Migrash Elef Amahu. V'chol Elef Amah Asu La'asoto Sadeh. When you have this open field, which was like part of the aesthetics of the city. You leave an open area outside the city, 1,000 amma, beautiful. You were not allowed to put in this migrash trees, wheat. You got to leave it open. So you're teaching me in Mishnah over here, oh, 25 amma out of the city, you can't plant the trees, and if it's a sycamore tree, 50 amma. No, we know this already. We know the rules of the migrash. You have an open, beautiful park outside of the city, next to the city. You can't turn the park into a garden. So what do you teach me? We know that already. So Gemara says, Tipukle de'en osim sadeh migrash. You can't, vice versa also, you can't turn a field into a open area. Velo migrash sadeh. No, you cannot turn an open area into a field, which means where there was no trees, you can't put trees. Which means we appreciate the open area that's next to the cities. So what is the chadush of our Mishnah? He was a Lord, Tzericha, you need our Mishnah. Let it be El-Azam. Let it be El-Azam. Okay. The Amar, Osin Sadeh Migrash, or Migrash Sadeh. Oh, there's a rabbi that says, when it comes to those open areas, you can change them. You can make from an open area, make it a field, or a field. Wait, there's a rabbi that says, you can do it. So the hadush is Hakha Mishum Noyair Lo Avdinan, which means those big areas of 1,000 amma, those areas that were outside the city, 1,000 amma outside the city, as far away from the city, 1,000 amma is further than 25 amma. So there was one rabbi that said, Nabi Eliezer, you can put trees in the area. It's okay. He would say, even though that's mutar, but 25 amma close to the city, that's already too close. So that's what you need the Mishnah for. For the one that was mekel, that was lenient, in those areas that were outside the city, 1,000 amma, to turn them into gardens, he would say, okay, that's because it's 1,000 amma outside the city, but this is crazy, this is too close. That's why you need the Hadush of the Mishnah. O'ul Rabbanan Nameh, Da'amne En Osin Sadeh Migrash V'lo Migrash Sadeh, Hani Mili Zera'im, Aval Ilanot Avdina. And even the rabbis that said, and those open areas outside the city called the Migrash, what did they say you're not allowed to plant in there? Not everything. The only thing you can't plant is seeds. However, trees, they allow you to grow. Now, what would be the difference? Why wouldn't the rabbis allow me to plant seeds, but they would allow me to put trees in those open areas, the Migrashim? What would be the logic that she says, she doesn't say? Who would give me a reason? Is it any worse? What would be the reason? We got to find the reason for that. Ah, you know why? I'll tell you why. Very easy. If there's seeds, I can't walk here. You took away my access. Trees, I can still walk in. But garden with trees, you walk. These areas were for people to congregate, or areas around the city and things like that. So the rabbis came up, if you have an open area, you're not allowed to put seeds, but you're allowed to put trees, because it still keeps the name of a migrash. It's still called an open area. But you put trees there, so you can still walk where there's trees. However, in our Mishnah, but here, even trees are going to be forbidden because it's too close to the city. Good? Which means, when you have the place outside, 1,000 amma outside the city, those open areas, the rabbi said, no seeds. Because what are you going to do? There's going to be a big sign, no trespassing. Why? Because you're going to ruin the seeds now. So now you ruined the whole area. The whole purpose why they built those areas outside the city, so people can congregate. It's like a park. You can't put seeds in a park, but you can put trees in a park. But when you get too close to the city already, then we don't even want you to even plant trees. So that's the difference between this Mishnah and over there. Now, yeah, mutar. Rabbi said trees only become forbidden 25 amma close to the city. Umina timra deshani ben zira'im le'ilanot. Okay, I should have waited for the Gemara. How do you notice the difference between seeds and trees? Okay, this we go back to Masechet Shabbat and Masechet Erubin. You remember we had a terminology called the Karpeth. A karpev is like a big area that's 5,000 square amma. 5,000 square amma. It's big. Bet Satayim. Very good. It's called the karpev. It has a wall around it. Beautiful. hukaf. Now I would say, can I carry in that area on Shabbat? Why not? It's got walls. I don't care how big it is. Hakamim said a rule. We're not getting into the reason because we're not learning Erubin. Hakamim said a rule. It depends what the wall was put up there for. If the wall is put up for residential lidira, then it's a private domain, you can carry in the walls. But if it was put up not for residential, let's say it was put up because it's a garden, not hukaf the dira, you cannot carry. The rabbis were concerned, it's a very big area. So even though it has walls, but it's a tremendous area, it looks like a public domain a little. So they said, you got to look at why the walls were put up. For residential, people live in there, no problem. For planting or things like that, you can't carry. So that's what the Gemara says. Netanya, karpef yoten mebet satayim. I'm sorry, it's more than bet satayim. It's more than 5,000 square amma. So drop more. 5,001 square amma. Sheukaf ledira. Beautiful. You put a fence around it. People were living there. It was for residential. Could you carry? Yes. Nizra rubo areu kegina beasur. Now let's say they went and they planted seeds in the majority of that area. Once you plant seeds in the majority of the area, it's not residential anymore. Why? Because people don't walk in that area where there's seeds. Now you won't be able to carry on Shabbat there. Nita'rubo? But if you planted trees in the majority of that area, hareu kahatzeru mutar. No problem. It's like a courtyard, it's permissible. So what do you see? You see that seeds take away access, trees don't. Because again, in that karpif, more than 5,000 square miles. I have a wall around it. Okay, beautiful. Why do I have a wall around it? Because we were living in there. Can I carry on Shabbat? Absolutely. Now all of a sudden, they came along and said, you know what? We want to plant seeds. We want to plant wheat. Very good. The majority of the area, they put wheat in there. Can I carry in this place on Shabbat anymore? No, sir. Why? Because now it's not residential anymore. Because you took away my access of walking, so I don't walk in such a field. However, if I plant trees... Trees, so what? Trees, people walk in there. Therefore, it's considered to look after the dira. Therefore, go back to our story of the Migrash. On these open areas outside of the city, Hakamim said, seeds you can't plant there. You know what? Once you plant seeds, it's not a Migrash anymore. Now already you've turned it into a no trespassing zone. I can't walk in there. But if you plant the trees in that item, no problem. Comes the Gemara and continues. Oh. The Ima Ir Kadma. Let's review the case of the Mishnah. You always got to cut the tree down, by the way. Whether the tree came first, whether the city came first, the tree's always getting cut down. The only difference is, do you pay the guy or not? That's the rule. Mai shena gabe bor. Oh, you remember we learned another case? Not a tree against the city, a tree against a bor. Guy has his pit, his cistern of water, and he got the tree next to it. What did it say? Diktani, kotzetz v'noten damim. Umay shena hacha, diktani, kotzetz v'eno noten damim. By bor, the din is, and I'm reading Rashi, ima bor kadma, if the bor came first, kotzetz, you cut the tree down, but you pay him. Why, when it came to a board, you pay the guy with the tree regardless? The guy with the tree, you always cut it down, but you pay him. But when it came to a board against the city, I'm sorry, when it came a tree against the city, then you say, who came first? If the city came first, you don't even got to pay him. What do you mean? If the board came first, he's got to pay the guy for the tree when he chops it down. So what would be the logic? Why the Achamim would say, my board came first, oh, you put a tree down? I can cut it, but you got to pay him. Okay, my city came first. You put your tree there, cut it down, I don't got to pay him. What's the difference? Why should I make a haluk between city first or board first? Gemara says, interesting psychology. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, this is a rule of life. Kedra de besh shutfe, a pot. Pot of food. That belongs to partners, lo chamima velo kirira. It's not hot and it's not cold. Why? Because each one of the partners relies that the other guy is going to make it hot or cold. So therefore, the job doesn't get done. If you had one guy dealing with it, he knows it's on me to do it. Therefore, he's got to go heat up the pot. But a pot that you have two people, what did you say? I'm sure my partner heated it up. Another guy says, I'm sure my other partner heated it up. Or vice versa. I'm sure he cooled it off. A pot that belongs to both people, nothing is going to be done. What in the world does this have to do with our story? I'll tell you what has to do with our story. You have people in a city. Who's responsible for paying this guy for his tree? Go find the guy. Each guy's going to say, hey, he'll pay him, he'll pay him, he'll pay him, he'll pay him. In the interim, what's going to happen? Nobody's going to chop the tree down because everybody's saying, oh, no, he'll take care of it, he'll take care of it, he'll care. And meanwhile, now you're ruining the aesthetics of the city. So the Gemara says, you know what? Chop the tree down, you don't got to pay. Masha'enkin in a board, it's a single guy, board and tree, chop the tree down, it's one against one, pay the guy. But when it's going to start with the city, each guy's going to say, oh, he'll take care of it, he'll take care of it, he'll take care of it. In the meantime, what's going to happen? The tree's going to stay there. And nobody's going to get rid of it, because if you guy pushes on the next guy, you have partners, nobody's going to do anything. And we don't want that. We don't want the city to lose its aesthetic beauty. So then, you know what they said? Just chop the tree down, nobody has to pay. And finish, just get it done. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says, Umay Kushal, second one line. He goes, wait, I don't even know what your question was. What are you asking me from a board to a city? Dilma shani ezekad rabim me ezekad yahid? Very simple. I can tell you a very simple difference. Maybe there's a difference between a damage that's done to the public to a damage that's done to an individual. When I put my tree next to the city, you damage the public now. The rabbi says, you know what? We're chopping your tree down, you're not getting paid. Because you damage the public. But maybe when I put my board, which I'm an individual, and then you put your tree, it's individuals, pay them. Very simple is, I don't got to come out with partners, with hard code, just say very simple. When the damage is to the public, you don't have to pay. And when the damage is to private, you have to pay. You don't need this whole answer. Gemara says, Ela I itmar de Rav Kana asifa itmar. Oh, so learn Rav Kana's case with the pot on the following case. Ima ilan kadam. Let's say the tree came first. Kotzetz v'notin damim. We said that in the Mishnah. If the tree came first, the people of the city chop the tree down, but they have to pay him. Ve'lehem alehu havu li beresha deme v'hadar ikutz. Let the guy from the tree say, hey, pay me first, then I'll chop the tree down. The Mishnah's language was, they chop the tree, then go collect. What do you mean? You want to chop my tree down? Yeah, pay me first, and then chop the tree down. What kind of business is this over here? And to that, Rav Kana explained. A pot that belongs to partners, it's not hot, it's not cold, which means, this guy now is going to say, pay me. No, who's going to pay? Each guy's going to say, get it from him, he'll take care of it, he'll take it. Meanwhile, what's going to happen? The tree's going to still be there. The tree's going to ruin the beauty of the city. So the rabbis were smart. The rabbis, you know what? First, knock the tree down. Then let the guy go break his head and get paid. That's not our problem. You got to fight to get paid. But if you're going to wait till he gets paid, he's never going to get paid. He's never going to take his tree down, and then you're going to have problems because the city is not going to look beautiful. So the rabbis understood, whenever you have more than one person in charge, there's going to be delays. There's a bureaucracy, exactly. Bureaucracy, because one person's not in charge of it. So therefore, the guy loves that. By the way, the guy with the tree, he loves that. Beautiful, let them fight it out till they find out who's going to pay me. Meanwhile, he has his tree over there. Hakim says, you know what? We're chopping your tree down. Hey, pay me. You'll get your pay. We'll pay you. We'll figure it out after. But you're not going to hold us up now because of our bureaucracy not to chop down your tree. Let's go one step further just to get to the Mishnah. Now, Gemara says one more question. Safek ze kadam, safek ze kadam, kotzetz ve'enu noten damim. If you have a safek, our Mishnah, I don't know which came first. Did the city come first? Did the tree come first? Rule is, chop the tree down, you don't have to pay. Ah, ma'ishena mibor, de'amart lo yakotz. In the same case of a board, I don't know, did the tree or the board came first? The deen over there is, leave his tree, don't touch the tree. Why over here when it comes to a city, sefek, chop his tree down. Same case by a board, leave his tree. Why? The Gemara says, "Hatam devadai lav lemekatz kae sefekon name lo amrinan le kotz."
Because in the case of the boar, what's the deen if my tree came first?
By a boar,
I keep my tree. If my tree came first before the boar, my tree stays. So therefore, we have a case by a boar where my tree stays. So therefore, if we have a sefek, my tree stays.
However, aval hacha devadai lemekatzkaye.
Here in the case of a city, I don't care what came first. You're always going to end up chopping down the tree. The only discussion is, do you pay him or not? Sefek on ame, I'm like kotz. So sefek also cut it. Because no matter what side you're going to take, you still got to cut the tree. Oh, so you tell me, oh, but my tree came first. Good, hazak amaruk, we're still going to cut the tree down.
However, the imishum dameh, oh, but what about the money? You're right.
Bring me a proof and we'll pay you the money. The money is a separate issue. But the tree gets cut by the city regardless. Therefore, sefek, cut. But by a boar, it depends who came first. So if I have a sefek, hey, you can't cut down my tree down with sefek. Maybe I came first. Therefore, you got to leave this tree there. Mashaken in the city, Mimarashak. Okay, you came first? Hazak Baruch, we're still chopping your tree down. Pay me. Bring me a proof that you came first. That's the answer. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.
Amen, amen.